الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، continue our discussion about أركان الصلاة. About أركان الصلاة. And we remember that the author, he mentioned that they are 14 ركنان, that there are 14 pillars in the prayer. And we have discussed three of them thus far. The first one being القيام مع القدرة, standing along with the ability. And the second one is تكبيرة الإحرام, and that is to make the opening تكبيرة, saying Allahu Akbar. And then the third pillar is قراءة الفاتحة, قراءة الفاتحة, reciting the Fatiha. And we have seen a number of beneficial details with regards to these affairs. We continue reading the author. He says, رحمه الله تعالى والركوع والرفع منه والسجود على الأعضاء السبعة والاعتدال منه والجلسة بين السجدتين. He says, and also, and meaning, and also from the pillars of as-salah, ar-ruku', which is the bowing, wal-raf'u minhu, and raising from it, and raising from it. So these are two. So the fourth pillar will be the bowing, the ruku', and the fifth pillar will be ar-raf'u minhu, to raise up from it. Was-sujudu 'ala al-a'dha' as-sab'a, and the sixth pillar is to prostrate upon the seven body parts. Upon the seven body parts. وَالْاِعْتِدَالُ مِنْهُ وَالْاِعْتِدَالُ مِنْهُ, and this will be the seventh. And الْجِلْسَةُ بَيْنَ السَّجْدَتَيْنِ will be the eighth. So here the author, he mentions the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, and the seventh, and the eighth pillar. Any five pillars. And they are coming in order, as is well known. He mentions what دَلِيلُ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى, and the evidence is the statement of Allah the Most High, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِرْكَعُوا وَاسْجُدُوا إِرْكَعُوا وَاسْجُدُوا. O you who believe, make the ruku', and he performed the bowing, and make the sujood, and perform the prostration. You must bow and prostrate. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِرْكَعُوا وَاسْجُدُوا. O you who believe, bow and prostrate. And he performed the ruku' and performed the prostration. Performed the ruku' and performed the sujood. So here this is a commandment here for both of these affairs. Allah has ordered the believers to make the ruku' and he has ordered them likewise to make the sujood. Both of these issues here, the ruku' and the sujood, they are pillars by consensus of the people of knowledge. They are pillars by consensus of the people of knowledge. What hadithu anhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam umirtu an asjuda ala sab'ati a'zum. And the narration from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he mentioned that I was ordered to prostrate on seven bones. I was ordered to prostrate on seven bones. So this evidence here that the author he's mentioning specifically with regards to ar-ruku', the fourth pillar, war-ruku', war-raf'u minhu, to make the ruku', meaning to bow. The ruku', linguistically, al-inhina, meaning to bow. And the fifth one after that is to raise from the ruku'. And the evidence that is mentioned here from the Quran is clear. O you who believe, irka'u, make the sujood. Likewise, Allah, he says, وَرَكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ, and that you should make the ruku' along with those who make the ruku'. This is also in order to make ruku'. And in reality, this is in order to make the prayer, to establish the prayer, and even more specific, the obligatory prayer in congregation. But the point is the order here for making the ruku'. So therefore, this is a pillar. And likewise, in the hadith al-Munsi, صَلَاتَهُ, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told him, irka hatta tatma'inna raki'a. Then after that, you make the ruku' until you are steady and still in the position of a ruku'. So the people of Nar, as they mentioned, about أَقَلُّ الرُّكُوعِ, what is the minimum requirement for a person to establish this pillar? What is the minimum requirement for a person to establish this pillar? The people of Nar, as they mentioned, الْإِنْحِنَاءُ حَتَّى يُمْكِنُهُ مَسُّ رُكْبَتَيْهِ بِكَفَيْهِ حَتَّى يُمْكِنُهُ مَسُّ رُكْبَتَيْهِ بِكَفَيْهِ, that a person, he must bow down enough, he must bend down in bowing, that he's able to touch his knees with his hands, that he's able to touch his knees with his hands, with his palms. So this is the minimum requirement. This is the minimum requirement for a person to be considered fulfilling this pillar, that he will bow down enough to where, if he were to stretch his hands out, his palms will touch his knees. His palms will touch his knees. If a person bent down lesser than that, and he was not able to reach his knees with his palms, then he's not considered fulfilling this pillar, and he's not considered making ruku'. And if he prayed in this manner, then the ruku' would not be correct. And likewise, based upon that, the salat will not be correct, because the ruku' is a pillar from the pillars of the prayer. It's a pillar from the pillars of the prayer. It has been collected by Abu Dawood and Tirmidhi and Nisa'i, not Imam Ahmed, and other than them, from the hadith of Abi Mas'ud al-Badri al-Ansari radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تجزئ صلاة رجل حتى يقيم ظهره في الركوع والسجود في الركوع والسجود, that a person's prayer will not suffice him, yani it will not fulfill the obligation. لا تجزئ صلاة الرجل, that his salat would not suffice him, it would not fulfill the obligation, it would not remove the responsibility of that particular obligation, if it's obligatory. حتى يقيم ظهره, until he straightens his back, في الركوع والسجود, until he straightens his back and performing the ركوع, the bowing, and performing the sujood, the prostration, meaning that he must go into that position until his back is steady, until his back is flat. And this is the minimum requirement, that he will bend down until his palms touch. And he will bend down in this manner until his palms touch his knees. Until his palms touch his knees. But the people of Nar, as they mentioned, the perfection of the ruku' and the best manner to perform it, and يَمُدَّ ظَهْرَهُ مُسْتَوِيًا وَيَجْعَلُ رَأْسَهُ حِيَالَهُ, he will bow until his back is flat. That a person, he will bow until his back is flat, and he will make his head likewise flat. So this is the perfection. We have أقل الركوع and أكمل الركوع. We have the minimum amount to fulfill the pillar, and we have the perfection and the complete manner in performing this pillar. So the minimum requirement again is that a person, he will bend down enough that he can touch his knees with his palms. But better than that, and more virtuous and more complete, is that he will continue to bend down until his back is straight. Until his back is straight and flat and level with the ground, and likewise his head should be level as well. And it's been narrated by Imam Muslim from the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, that she says about the description of the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in that, وَكَانَ إِذَا رَكِعَ لَمْ يُشْخِصْ رَأْسَهُ وَلَمْ يُسَوِّبْهُ وَلَكِنْ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ, that whenever he would make ruku' sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would not raise up his head, and nor would he lower his head, but rather it was between that. So this means that his head was even with his back. His head, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was even with his back. Also in Sahih Bukhari, from the hadith of Abi Humayd al-Sa'idi, radiyallahu anhu, he has as well described the salat of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in that description, he mentioned, وَإِذَا رَكَعَ أَمْكَنَ يَدَيْهِ مِنْ رُكْبَتَيْهِ ثُمَّ حَصَرَ ظَهْرَهُ, that whenever he would make ruku', sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would place his hands, meaning his palms, on his knees firmly. He would place his hands on his knees firmly, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he would straighten his back flat. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also it has come as well that he mentioned, إِنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ رَكَعَ فوضع يديه على ركبتيه كأنه قابض عليهما كأنه قابض عليهما. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made ruku' and he would put his hands on his knees as if he's grabbing them, as if he's grabbing onto them, and he was clutching onto them and holding onto them with his hands, and he meaning with his fingers apart sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like he's grasping his knees and holding them in his hands. يعني كانه قابضهما صلى الله عليه وسلم وتر يديه فنحاهما عن جنبيه. And then he would صلى الله عليه وسلم, he would bend out his arms and he would push them away from his sides. And he would bend over صلى الله عليه وسلم until his back is flat. And then he would not raise his head along with that either, nor would he lower his head, rather his head would be flat along with his back. So the back would be flat all the way along with the back of the head. And this manner is the proper ruku'. And then he would grab onto his knees, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with his hands, like he's grabbing on his knees and holding onto them. And then in this manner, his arms would be in a bow shape, and he would push them away from his body, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that his arms would not be touching his sides. This wording here is also from the hadith of Abi Humayd, but this one is collected in by At-Tirmidhi rahimahullah ta'ala, and it's the same narration or a portion of that narration or similar to the narration which is in Sahih al-Bukhari. Also in Sahih al-Bukhari as well, he mentioned radiyallahu anhu Abu Humayd al-Sa'idi. He says, فَإِذَا رَفَعَ رَأْسُهُ إِسْتَوَى حَتَّى يَعُودَ كُلُّ فَقَارٍ مَكَانَهُ. And then whenever he would raise up from the ruku', whenever he would raise his head, meaning raising his head from the ruku', sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would stand back up straight until every bone in his back went back to the original place that it was. And meaning that he would stand all the way back up, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until his back is straight again. And this is in reference to the next pillar, the fifth one, which is Ar-Raf'u Minhu. Ar-Raf'u Minhu. Raising up from the ruku'. And also in hadith, Al-Musi Salatahu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him after that, ثُمْ يَرْفَعْ حَتَّى تَعْتَدِلَ قَائِمًا. And then you raise up, meaning after you make the ruku', until you are still in that position, then you raise up until you are upright again standing. This narration here clarifies what that means, meaning he would stand upright straight completely until every bone in his body would be back straight standing. None of them would be bent. None of them would be bent in the bowing position. So we see the minimum requirement and we see the perfection of that. And no doubt a believer, he will strive to perform his prayer inwardly and outwardly the best that he can, to the best of his ability, in the manner of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, holding fast to that narration of Malik ibn Huwayrith radiallahu anhu and Sahih Bukhari. Whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered, and he said, وَصَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي. And pray in the manner you have seen me pray. And we should always remember likewise that the manner of praying is legislation and revelation from Allah Azza wa Jal. Is legislation and revelation from Allah Azza wa Jal. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was ordered to pray in this manner. And this is also clear in the narration that the author is mentioning, which is the narration of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, is mutafiqun alayhi, umirtu an asjuda ala sab'ati a'zum. I was ordered to prostrate on seven bones. So it's known that if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is ordered, the one who is ordering him is Allah Azza wa Jal. And likewise, the fundamental principle as well is whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is ordered to do something, it's an order likewise for his ummah to follow him in that. So the point now is to see that Allah has ordered him to prostrate upon these bones. So this description of this prayer is an order from Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is a clarification as well that the sunnah likewise is revelation. Just as the Quran would come to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with guidance and revelation from Allah Azza wa Jal, also the sunnah as well is revelation and guidance from Allah Azza wa Jal. So the perfection of the ruku' is that a person, he will He will bow and he will place his hands open like he's going to grab on something, and he will grab onto his knees. And he will open his hands like he's going to place a ball in his hand, for example. The way that a person, he will hold onto a ball, this is, and he called it qabla. Al-qabla is whenever you grab all your fingers together and you make a fist. This is called qabla. So it's like he's grabbing on his knees, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the first thing. And then he would bow down until the back is flat. Not up at an angle and not down at an angle likewise. And this is for the people who are able. Some people, maybe they're not able to. So they'll be leaning up a little bit because they're not able to. Then they're excused. A person, he will fear Allah as much as he can. But those who are able to, they should strive to perfect the ruku' and the rest of the pillars of the prayer. But we will not go to extremes. Some people, they'll go too far down and they'll be leaning down. You will find that their back and their head is lower than their bottom. They're going down at an angle. This is not correct. From the hadith of Aisha and the hadith of Abi Humayr radiallahu anhuma, we see that the back should be flat. And also we see that the head should not be raised. Nor should the head be lowered. So some people, maybe they make their back flat very well, but then they'll raise their head like this. So then they'll raise their head up. So their back is flat and then their head is raised. This is incorrect. Although if they pray like that, the prayer is accepted. And if they fulfill the pillar, but this is not the proper way. This is disliked. This is disliked with the people of knowledge. That one he will raise his head. لَمْ يُشْخِصْ رَأْسَهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ وَلَمْ يُسَوِّبْهُ لَمْ يُشْخِصْ رَأْسَهُ لَمْ يَرْفَعْ رَأْسَهُ لَمْ يُسَوِّبْهُ لَمْ يَخْفِضْهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ. He didn't lower his head down likewise. Rather, the back of the head should be flat with the back of the back. Should be flat with the back. This is the proper way. And again, not to go down too far to where a person is leaning down. And also the issue about grabbing on the hands. We see that the word he mentioned, كَأَنُّهُ قَابِلٌ كَأَنُّهُ قَابِلُهُمَا يعني يَقْبِلُ عَلَيْهِمَا. Like he's grabbing, the holding onto them. The قَبْضَ is when a person, he grabs his hands together and he makes a fist. So if a person, he has something in his hand like a small ball, he will grab it like that. And he'll hold on to it and squeeze it. So this is this description of how he would hold on to his knees. Some people, they put their hands too far. Yani on, maybe their palms are on top of their knees and then their fingers are going down on their shins. It looks like he's holding on to his shins. I've seen this happen before. This is not correct. Brother who put his hands on his knees like he's holding on to them. Like he's grabbing the knees. This is the correct way. So based upon this, looking at the proper way and the most complete way, looking at the minimum requirement, we've seen likewise raising up. So he has to go down into the ruku'. And we'll find also after this, the author, he mentions the pillar of al-tumanina. So the person, he must go into the ruku' and he must remain there for a moment. Long enough to make the tasbih. So he can't go down and go back up real fast. He has to go down. لا تجزئ الصلاة الرجل حتى يقيم ظهره في الركوع. That the prayer is not correct until he straightens his back, meaning until he gets into that position and he's there. Resting, and then he raises back up. So the raising back up now is the fifth pillar. So a person, he has to go down and he has to raise back up. He has to go down into the ruku' at least in the minimum manner, at least fulfilling the minimum requirement, and then raise back up until he's standing back up again. If a person, he were to go into ruku' and then after that to go straight to sujood. He goes into ruku' and from here he goes to sujood. It will not be correct. So if he were to go into ruku' and then from there go directly into sujood, it would not be correct. He skipped the pillar of raising up. And likewise, if he were to raise up a little bit, but not all the way, until he's standing straight again, then as well, it's not considered correct and he did not fulfill the pillar. So he has to make, one will have to make the ruku', which here is the fourth pillar, and he has to raise up from the ruku', which is the fifth pillar, So this is raising back up until he's straight some of the people they mentioned, al-i'tidal. وَالْاِعْتِدَالُ مِنْهُ. Here the author, he mentions it here after the sujood. وَالْاِعْتِدَالُ مِنْهُ يَنِي مِنْ السُّجُود. Also al-i'tidal, as well, it has to be in rising from the ruku', to stand back up, to stand back up until he's up again. حَتَّى يَنْتَصِبَ قَائِمًا. Until he's standing back up flat again. So he started out in the standing position, he has to return back to the standing position. This is the fourth pillar, returning back to the standing position, and also being straight in that manner. Being straight in that manner. After this as well, we have the issue of the sujood. The sixth pillar, the author, he says, وَالسُّجُودُ عَلَىٰ أَعْضَاءِ السَّبْعَةِ. That one, he must prostrate upon the seven body parts. One, he must prostrate upon the seven body parts. وَالسُّجُودُ عَلَىٰ أَعْضَاءِ السَّبْعَةِ. That one, he must prostrate upon the seven body parts. So for this issue here, the author, he mentioned the narration, which is the narration of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, which is mutafiqun alayhi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أَسْجُودَ عَلَىٰ سَبْعَةِ أَعْظُمْ عَلَىٰ سَبْعَةِ أَعْظُمْ عَلَىٰ جَبْهَةِ وَأَشَارَ بِيَدِهِ إِلَىٰ أَنْفِهِ وَالْيَدَيْنِ وَالرُّكْبَتَيْنِ وَأَطْرَافِ الْقَدَمَيْنِ. And the hadith is mutafiqun alayhi. And in one wording likewise by al-Bukhari, ala sab'ati a'da. Ala sab'ati a'da. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, I was ordered to prostrate upon seven bones. In one wording in Bukhari, upon seven body parts. Upon seven body parts. And then he said, to clarify, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ala al-jabhati wa ashara biyadihi al-anfi. Upon the forehead. But he pointed with his hand to his nose. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the forehead. He pointed with his hand to his nose. To clarify that in the sujood, the forehead and the nose are considered one body part. They're considered one body part. No doubt the forehead is different from the nose. These are two different body parts. But in prostration, they're considered one. So for this reason, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, ala al-jabha. The number one, he said, on the forehead. وَأَشَارَ بِيَدِهِ الْأَنْفِ. And he pointed with his hand, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to his nose, to indicate that in this issue here, that the nose is following behind the forehead, and they are considered in prostration to be one body part. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَالْيَدَيْنِ. And the two hands. وَالرُّكْبَتَيْنِ. And the two knees. وَأَطْرَافِ الْقَدَمَيْنِ. And the ends of the two feet. And the ends of the two feet. So the forehead and the nose is one. And the two hands, this is three. And the two knees, this is five. And then the ends of the two toes, the ends of the two feet, meaning the toes, they are making seven. This makes seven. This makes seven. So in this narration, there are a number of benefits. From that, the description of the prostration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the requirements for that. And as well, that this description here was revelation to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Umirtu an asjuda ala sab'ati a'zam. I was ordered, meaning Allah azza wa jal, he had ordered me to prostrate upon seven bones. Upon seven bones. In one wording, upon seven body parts. So this is clarification of what has preceded in a number of classes and a number of examples, that the sunnah is revelation from Allah azza wa jal. That the sunnah and the laws and legal ways that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught and clarified, this is revelation from Allah azza wa jal. The obligation of the prayer was revelation from Allah azza wa jal. And the manner to perform the prayer and the description outwardly and those movements and the likes, this was revelation, guidance from the Lord of the worlds. Guidance from the Lord of the worlds. Also in this narration, we see the beautiful teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he would teach and clarify the guidance and the truth in many different manners, many different ways. And from that we see in this narration here, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would mention things in general. And likewise, sometimes he would mention things with numbers. And this is very beneficial for the student, to mention things first in general. I was ordered to prostrate upon seven bones. And likewise, to mention along with that numbers. along with that numbers, because now whenever a person hears this, he's paying attention, seven bones. So he's thinking about the number and the amount of the affair, and likewise, he's waiting for the details. So now he's listening attentively, waiting to hear what's coming next, because he's been introduced to a general idea, general information, and likewise a number along with that. And then after that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam clarified the details. So this is a beautiful way of teaching, to sometimes present the information in a very general sense, and then follow that up with detail. And in this manner, the student, he will hear the general information, and it will draw his attention, and then he'll be also hoping and yearning to listen to the details, and he's ready to benefit, and it's more easy for him in this manner to memorize the knowledge and to learn it and to apply it. So this is also from the benefits of this narration. I was ordered to prostrate on seven bones. On the forehead, and he pointed with his hand, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to his nose, وَلِيَدَيْنِ, and the two hands, وَرُكْبَتَيْنِ, and the two knees, وَأَطْرَافِ الْقَدَمَيْنِ, and the ends of the two feet. So these are the seven body parts that must be on the ground for the prostration to be correct. The people of Nar, as they mentioned, أَقَلُّ السُّجُودُ وَضْعُ جُزْءٍ مِنْ كُلِ عُضْوٍ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ, that a person, he must put a portion, at bare minimum, a portion of every part on the ground. At least a portion of his hands will be on the ground. This is the bare minimum, a portion of his toes, and the likes like this. But what is better and more perfect is that he will make it tamkeen jami' al-a'dha' min al-ard, that he will place firmly every body part on the ground. And the forehead is the most important. The forehead and the nose, this is the most important. Any from the sefer, and this is the true aspect of the sujood. The intention from the sujood is to place the face on the ground. Coming along with that are these other body parts. So in order to perform it properly, he must place his forehead along with his nose flat on the ground. And he must place his hands with his palms flat on the ground likewise. And he will close his fingers. They will not be spread out. And the fingers will be facing the qibla, like his body. And likewise, the knees will be on the ground, and the feet will be on the ground, but the heels will be in the air, and the toes will be facing the qibla. The toes will face the qibla, and his fingers will face the qibla, and himself with his head is in the direction of the qibla. And it's also recommended to have the ankles together. So this is the best manner to make sure that everything is firmly on the ground. If a person, he was not able, for example, because of an ailment, to place one of these body parts on the ground, then he'll place what he's able to. For example, if somebody, he had an ailment in his left hand, and he's able to prostrate on all of his body parts, he's able to go down and to prostrate, he just cannot put his left hand on the ground because he has an ailment. He has an ailment or a wound on the left hand, then at this time he will not be required to put the left hand. He'll be excused from that, but he'll put the rest of his body, He'll put his right hand on the ground. He'll put his forehead and his nose on the ground. He will go down, yani normally, but he'll be excused from the body part that he's not able to. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in his book, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ, that you fear Allah as much as you can. So the fact that he cannot put his left hand on the ground doesn't stop him from putting the rest of his body parts on the ground. So this is with regards to having an ailment in one of these other body parts of sujood. But if the ailment was in his face, on his forehead and his nose, then the people of knowledge, they differed. And in some of them, they mentioned that because the rest of the body parts are following behind the forehead and the nose. And he's following behind the face. If he's not able to place his face on the ground, now he will go to sitting. He will sit in a sitting position, and he will make an imam, and he will lean down for the sujood. He will lean down, yani, to indicate, to point, and indicate with his head for the sujood, and the making of the sujood will fall off, because the origin here is the origin with regards to the sujood is in reference to the face. It's in reference to the face. The prostration is whenever one he places his face on the ground. And there are narrations to support this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Inna al-yadaini tasjudani kama yasjudul wajh." That indeed the two hands, they prostrate the same way they face prostrates. فَإِذَا وَضَعَ أَحَدُكُمْ وَجْهَهُ فَيَضَعْ يَدَيْهِ. So if one of you places his face on the ground, then let him put his two hands. وَإِذَا رَفَعَ وَجْهَهُ فَلْيَرْفَعْهُمَا. And if he raises his face, then he should raise his hands. Then he should raise his hands. So therefore, some of the people of knowledge, rather the majority of the people of knowledge, they mentioned, so therefore that since he's not able to put his face, then he doesn't have to put his hands. So therefore, he'll, instead of making sujood here, he will just indicate and lean and point with his head. And point with his head, making it lower when it's time to make sujood. And he does not have to go down for sujood. And this is the first position. The second position is that rather he will have to go down to sujood and lower his head as much as he can. And because he's able to put his feet and his knees and his hands on the ground. The only thing he's not able to do is to put his face on the ground. So therefore, he will go down into the sujood, and he will go down as far as he can, and he without harming himself, and draw his face as close to the ground as possible without making the sujood. So this portion here is still capable for him. So he's not excused from that. And this is also based on the verse, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Fear Allah as much as you can. So this person, he's able to go down. He's able to get almost into the position of sujood. He's just not able to put his face on the ground. So therefore, he should go down as close as he can and perform that pillar as much as he can. As much as he can. So the people of knowledge, they differed with regards to this one. And Allah knows best. And if he's able to, he should do it as much as he can. He should do it as much as he can. And Allah knows best. So also the people of knowledge, they mentioned the issue of prostrating upon a barrier. As-sujudu ala al-ha'il. As-sujudu ala al-ha'il. So here we have three different circumstances, prostrating on a barrier. So the people of knowledge, as they mentioned, if the barrier that one was prostrating upon was one of the body parts of sujood, then sujood will not be correct. For example, if a person, he would put his hands on the ground, which are from the body parts of sujood, and then he placed his forehead and his nose on his hands, then the prostration would not be correct. Then the prostration will not be correct, and thus his prayer will not be correct. So it's not allowed to prostrate on the body parts of sujood. On the body parts of sujood. If a person did that, then his prostration would not be correct, and also based upon that, his prayer would not be correct. Then we have the issue after that of prostrating on some type of garment that is attached to the person, meaning from his clothing that he's wearing. Whether it's his thobe, or whether it's a taqiyah, a hat that he's wearing, for example, or shimagh that he's wearing on top of his head, or whether it's a woman, for example, wearing the khimar, so on and so forth. Now we have the issue of prostrating on a garment and the likes that a person he's wearing. They say it's a ha'il al-muttasil, yani bin musalli. This is a barrier that's attached, yani coupled to the person praying, meaning a garment that he's wearing. So with regards to the feet and the knees and the hands, then it's not required for a person to take that off. Meaning a person, if he has socks on, he can prostrate in his socks. And no doubt a person, he's wearing pants and the knees are covered. This is from the awrah. So he'll prostrate on that, or if he had on his garment. He will not uncover yani his knees to prostrate on them. He will not uncover his feet to prostrate on them. If he's wearing gloves, he will not uncover his hands to prostrate upon them. It's not a requirement. It's not a requirement. So the hands can be covered. There's no problem. The knees, no doubt. And the feet can be covered. No problem. Even for the women, they should be covered as we have seen before. So these parts of the body, parts of sujood, it's okay for them to be covered. And it doesn't harm the sujood. But as for the forehead and the nose, then the people of knowledge, they dislike for that to be covered whenever a person is making sujood. And it's preferred for that portion to be uncovered and the actual forehead and the nose to be on the ground. So if a person, for example, he's wearing a hat, a taqiyah, if it's down low maybe, it'll cover his forehead. So it's preferred for him to raise it up so that his forehead is exposed. So that whenever he prostrates, his forehead, the actual forehead, there's no barrier between his forehead and the ground. His forehead and the nose. So it will go directly to the ground. Although if he prostrated with a barrier there, the prostration is correct, but it's considered disliked. Except in the case whenever there is an excuse. For example, if the ground is very hot, or if the ground is very cold, until it preoccupies a person, it's difficult for him to prostrate because of the heat on the ground or the cold on the ground. Or even some of the people of knowledge, they mention, likewise, if there's a foul smell on the ground and he's not able to bear it. And this is because sometimes we see that some individuals, they will wear socks and they will continue to wear them until they're filthy and they have a foul odor. And then one of them, he'll come and pray in the masjid, and then he will leave, and that foul odor will remain from his socks. Waliyadhu billah. Sometimes even one day or 2 days. And the people of Nara, as they mentioned, some people, it's known that they pass by because of the beautiful scent of their perfume and the oud and the itr that they wear. And others, it's known that they pass by because of the smell of their feet. Waliyadhu billah. Yani, this foul odor. So this is something that's not proper. A believer, he should cleanse himself and take care of himself. If he's somebody who's working, maybe he has an excuse. He's working outside, he has to wear boots. It's hot, so he becomes sweaty. So if he's going to come into the masjid, let him take off those socks and make wudu on his feet in order to keep them clean. Not because it's an obligation, but in order to not harm the believers and harm the masjid. So maybe there is a foul odor that would disturb him whenever he's going to prostrate. So now he has an excuse, and it's allowed for him to put his garment, for example, up. To put his thobe up and prostrate on his thobe. Or to put his shimag down and prostrate on the shimag. And the likes like this. This is allowed. Now he has an excuse. The evidence for this is what is found in Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Anas. Radiallahu anhu. He says, كُنَّا نُصَالِ مَا رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ فِي شِدَّةِ الْحَرِّ في شدة الحر فإذا لم يستطع أحدنا أن يمكن جبهته من الأرض بسط ثوبه فسجد عليه. That we used to pray along with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the severe heat. And if one of us was not able, and because of the heat, to put his forehead on the ground, then he would spread out his garment and prostrate on that. So the point of evidence from the narration of Anas radiallahu anhu was that he mentioned that they would only pull their garment up and prostrate on the garment whenever they're not able to because of this extreme heat. Meaning that if they were able to, they would not do that. Meaning that if they were able to, if there was no excuse like extreme heat on the ground, then they would not do that. So this indicates that this is something that they would only do in times of need. So from here, the people of Nara, as they mentioned, when there's no need, it's disliked. And a person, he should prostrate on his actual forehead and his nose without any garment between him and his place of prostration. As for the third issue with regards to this, this is to prostrate upon something that is not from the garments of a person. Any meaning, for example, something that's not coupled with him. And something that's not attached to him, not from his garments. Meaning, for example, like on a rug, or on a sijada, or on something that's on the ground, like the carpet, for example. All of this is allowed. All of this is allowed. And also in Bukhari and Muslim, from the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu, it's mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, one time he visited his house. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam led him and an old woman and another young orphan boy in prayer. And Anas radiallahu anhu, he hastened and he got up and he prepared a hasir. A hasir is a mat that's made out of palm leaves. And he cleansed it off and washed it off with water. And he placed it for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he prayed on it. and he prayed on it. And likewise, as well collected by Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Maymuna radiallahu anha, she said, Salla an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala khumrah, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would pray, he prayed on the khumrah. The khumrah is a small sijadah. So it's established that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sometimes he prayed on a mat and the likes that is on the ground. So this is allowed. But a person, he will place these body parts on that which he's praying properly until they're firmly on the ground. The people of knowledge, they mentioned, if it's something that's very thick and it's something that's very, that has lots of cushion, like some of the mats that we have today, they have an extra cushion and they're very fluffy. This one, he must press his face, and he won't just put his face on that, but rather he'll put his face down until he is making sujood. Because if he just places his face on there, it's really fluffy and very soft because of how thick it is. So this one here, he should try to actually place his face onto the cushion until he is making the proper prostration. He will just not let it on there any lightly because of how thick it is. So this is the issue of a sujood. And in reality, a sujood is a great action of worship and servitude and submission to Allah Azza wa Jal, and display of humbleness, and likewise surrender and submission, which is based upon believing in the Lordship of Allah and His authority and command. And it's known that the face is the most noble portion of the body. The head and the face is the most noble portion of the body. And also the hands are very noble and beneficial as well. With them we work deeds. Some of us, we work righteous and good deeds, and others, they're contrary to that. And also the knees and the feet, they're also from the greatest means that help and aid a person to go about his day, to earn his living and to earn the deeds that he earns. And he helping along with the hands. Helping along with the hands to earn what he earns from good or from evil. And likewise in the sujood, this is the position from the prayer when the majority of the body is on the ground. In all of the other positions of the salat, only portions of the body are on the ground. So the majority of the body is on the ground, and likewise the most noble portions of the body are on the ground in the sujood. Whenever a person is standing, his head is up high, and after that his shoulders and his back, so on and so forth. These are the highest portions of his body. But in sujood, he takes the high parts of his body and he lowers them before Allah Azza wa Jalla. And that which is normally lower from his body becomes higher, meaning his bottom will be up and his head will be down in this manner like this. And he's showing complete servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has been collected by Imam Muslim from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَهُوَ سَاجِدٌ فَأَكْثِرُوا الدُّعَاءِ, that the nearest a slave will be to his Lord is while he's in sujood, is while he's prostrating. So therefore make an abundance of supplication here. So therefore the sujood is a position of humbleness and submission and humility, of humbleness and submission and servitude and devotion to Allah and surrender to Him in the greatest manner. A person will take his noble face, his face that's so noble and beneficial, the best portion of his body, and he'll place it on the ground before Allah, placing his head on the ground before Allah and his feet and his knees in this manner, and going into the sujood and humbleness and submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this place of submission and surrender, it's a great opportunity and highly recommended to increase in abundance and to increase in supplication, to go to this low position and humble oneself before Allah azza wa jalla, and then beg Him for the good of this life and the hereafter. Also collected by Imam Muslim from the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, فَأَمَا الرُّكُوعُ فَعَظِمُ فِيهِ الرَّبَّ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. As for whenever you're in the ruku', the magnifying, glorifying, praising the Lord عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. وَأَمَّا السُّجُودُ فَاجْتَهِدُوا فِي الدُّعَاءِ. As for whenever you're in sujood, then strive in supplication. فَقَامِنُوا أَن يُسْتَجَابَ لَكُمْ. Because most rightful, very rightful, you will be responded to at this time. And meaning by surrendering and submitting and showing complete humbleness and devotion and servitude to Allah Azza wa Jal, calling on Him at this time in this state, most rightful that He would answer you. So this is one of those times in the prayer that it's recommended to supplicate and to call on Allah Azza wa Jalla, in the obligatory and in the non-obligatory. Even more so in the non-obligatory, whenever a person yukunu amira nafsihi, whenever he's in charge of his own self and he can lengthen the prayer as he likes. So the one who's praying a non-obligatory prayer, even more preferably in the end of the night, that he, whenever he's in sujood, he will supplicate and he will call on Allah and he will beg him for all of his needs, for all of his needs. And this is a great action of worship and submission. Again, whenever a person is in sujood, now all of these noble body parts, they're on the ground. As for whenever he's standing, only his feet are on the ground. In the qiyam, only his feet are on the ground. While he's reciting, only his feet are on the ground. Whenever he's in ruku', only his feet are on the ground. Whenever he's sitting between the two prostration, only portion of his legs and bottom are on the ground. But whenever he is in sujood, all of these body parts, they're on the ground. In this manner like this, in this show of complete servitude and surrender, and submission. And for this reason, the places of worship, they're called masajid, and they're not called maraki', and they're not called mawaqif, any places of qiyam or wukuf. They're not called places of ruku', rather they're called places of sujood. Places of sujood. وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. And indeed the masajid, they are for Allah. They are for Allah, so therefore do not call on anyone along with Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all of this is clarification of the great virtue of the position of sujood. And we have seen the minimum requirement of performing this pillar. And there are some details as well with regards to the perfection of that. The perfection of that. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.